There was a businessman who was in a great deal of financial trouble, and his business was failing. He had put everything that he had into the business, but he owed everybody, it seemed, and it was so bad that he was even contemplating suicide. And as a last resort, he went to his pastor and he poured out his story of his hard times. And when he had finished telling his pastor the story, the pastor said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to put a beach chair and your Bible in your car, and I want you to drive down to the beach." He says, "I want you to take the beach chair out of your car and take your Bible and go down to the water's edge, and I want you to sit down right there on the beach at the water's edge with your Bible in your lap. I want you to open the Bible, and the wind will begin to blow, and it will flip the pages of your Bible. But finally, the Bible will eventually just stop." And he said, "When it comes to a rest on whatever page it's on, I want you to look down at that page and read the first thing that you see." He said, "That will be your answer. God will be speaking to you, and you'll know what to do." So about a year later, the businessman went back to the pastor, and he brought his wife and his children with him, and they sat down in the pastor's office. And the man was in a new, brand new, custom-tailored suit. His wife was in a mink coat. The children were wearing the latest trends. And the businessman pulled out an envelope out of his pocket, just packed full of cash, and handed it to the pastor as a donation, thanking him for his previous advice. And the pastor recognized this benefactor and was curious, and he said, "You did as I suggested?" And the businessman said, "Absolutely." He said, "You went to the beach." He said, "I did." He said, "You sat there on the beach in a chair with the Bible open in your lap." "Yep." And he said, "And the wind began to blow and the pages began to flip until they stopped." He said, "Sure did." He said, and "What were the first words that you saw when you looked down?" He said, "Chapter 11. Bankruptcy, for those of you that are a little bit slower in the room. He's just doing what his pastor told him, right? Just doing what his pastor told him. Here's what concerns me. Some of you have sat through all six sessions with us, but yet some of you have sat there skeptical. And you've made up excuses on why it won't work in your home without even getting serious about trying it. Some have agreed with every step in the process, but you still refuse to take a true inventory on your home, and you think that you've got it all figured out. And I'm praying that we will all act upon it. As James 1 and 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says." And I want you to know that even though our lives have kind of been in the spotlight during this series, Mandy and I, we do not have it all figured out. I never want you to think that. We do not have it all figured out. We are constantly reminding ourselves and correcting ourselves. This is an ongoing process. Parents should be full-time students who never stop learning. That's what we're called to be, full-time students who never stop learning. And throughout this series, we've given you principles with scriptural backing. And I'm tempted to say, why not try it? You have nothing to lose. But the reality hits me, and I think to myself, no, you've got everything to lose. So why not try it? Because you have everything to lose. Because as I told you from week one till now, one shot, people, that's it. When it comes to parenting, one shot per child, that's all you get. And if you don't get it right, then there is no guarantee that your kids are ever going to get it. But listen to this promise. And some of you, you're going to want to debate me on this, but I just want you to listen close, okay? If you do get it right, the promise is that they will eventually get it. That's the promise of God's word. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, "Start children off on the way." Listen, the way. There is a way. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. And the Bible says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it." That's the promise of God's word. You start children off on the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. And so you really have to think to yourself, do I have my children on the right path? Are they on the right way? And if I do, then there's a promise with that. At our last session, I ended the night mentioning the well-worn path. And I'm going to fly through this because I have something very important that we're going to do here in just a moment. And so I want to wrap up all the five previous weeks into one final teaching about the well-worn path. Aristotle once said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit." Excellence is not an act, but a habit. We are what we repeatedly do. One of the biggest and most inaccurate myths is the belief that it only takes 3 weeks to form a habit in your life. If you've listened to any leaders tell you that it takes 3 weeks to create a habit in your life, I'm letting you know that through key phrases and words and uncited research, these personal development gurus try to sell us on this magic 3 week plan, and it doesn't work. And I can prove to you how it doesn't work. I'm going to make you mad right now, but stay with me. Just stay with me. I'm going to prove to you how it doesn't work. You've been attending parenting classes with us for 6 weeks with a 1 week hiatus. Many of you have attended most, if not all, of the weeks. On week five, the last time that I spoke to you about the importance of church attendance and how important it is to your child's spiritual development. The most important thing that you can develop in your child is their spirituality and their trust and their faith in God. Last Wednesday night, Mandy and I were out of town at a conference. Did you show up for church? Did you bring your kids? It's not just 3 weeks, guys. It's creating a well-worn path. But mommy and daddy don't like what they're teaching this week. It's not a topic that is relevant to us. It's a well-worn path. I'm not condemning you, please. I know that some of you are taking it that way. I know that life is busy and time is valuable, but I stress to you with Scripture how important it is. And I know that you can't make it every week. I mean, I know that that happens. But I wonder how many of you will be back next week that this series is over to invest in your family. Even though that I spent a whole week on the importance of that. And the key is, it's not yet, for some of you, it's not a well-worn path for you and your family, but the hopes is that it will become that. And I want to show you this in Jeremiah 6 and 16, and please listen close to this. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads. Now listen, some of you right now, you've been here for 6 weeks listening to this teaching, and the Bible says you're right now at a crossroads. With your parenting, you are at a crossroads. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its paths, and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Man, listen to this ancient prophecy and how it speaks to our lives today. When Mandy and I first got married before children, BC, when we first got married, we lived on a couple of acres, not quite a couple of acres, and directly behind our house was this very heavily wooded area. And when we first moved in, I would take a machete with me and my old dog, Joe. No offense, but that was my dog's name, Joe, Chocolate Lab. And Joe and I would walk back through those woods, and I had to create a path. And I would take my machete and I would you know, whack at limbs and vines and just different things, debris that was in the way, and I would create this path. And every so often, every few days, Joe and I would go back walking through those woods and I would just clear out a little bit more. And over time, walking back through those woods with Joe, I created a well-worn path to where I no longer had to take the machete with me. Because I had walked that path so much, it was now clear of all of the debris. It was clear of all the vines, the trees, anything that would hinder my progress of walking down that path. It was out of the way because we had created this well-worn path. Now, please listen to me. This same thing applies to raising your children. Whatever is priority for your life is what you are going to create well-worn path. If it's travel baseball, then you're going to create this well-worn path of travel baseball. And I have nothing against baseball. Actually, I do. I hate baseball. But I have nothing against your kid playing travel baseball. I don't. If it's volleyball, then you're going to create this well-worn path. If that's the priority, if that's priority over everything else, including church, that's the well-worn path that you're going to create. Whatever it is, if it's fishing on Sunday mornings, That becomes the well-worn path that you create. And our goal as parents is to walk with our spiritual machete, walk with our sword in our hand, and cut the debris out of the way, get everything moved out of the way, create the well-worn path so that when you're dead and gone, your children and their children will still walk a well-worn path in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's our job as parents. That's our spiritual mandate on our lives. What are we creating? What well-worn paths are we creating? It's so convicting. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. I started the series with this verse. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. If you aim your children in the right direction when they are young, you're not going to be ashamed of them when you are old. That's the promise. If you aim your children, if like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior, if you aim your children in the right direction when they are young, you're not going to be ashamed of them when you are old. Allow me to introduce my kids to you. My son is someone who loves the dog but tolerates his sister. My daughter can sit down and figure out how to play almost any song on the guitar, but cannot figure out how to boil noodles without her mom on the telephone. My son can spend hours sitting there in front of the TV playing his Xbox NBA, what is it, 2K15 that you're at right now? I don't think you're at 16 yet. And he can spend hours, but he cannot set aside 1 hour a day to go outside and shoot real baskets like his dad, his coach, is wanting him to do. My daughter can hear a Taylor Swift song from the next county, but cannot hear her mom calling her from the kitchen in the next room over. But most importantly than any of that, my children love the Lord, and they serve Him here in this church to the best of their ability. And honestly, that's all Mandy and I can ask for. And so as announced, if you saw it on social media, we have two special guests with us tonight. And so I want you to welcome our twins, Caleb and Kendall. You guys come on up here. You guys sit in the middle so everybody can stare at you. This is absolutely no problem for Kendall. I can assure you of that. Caleb is about to puke on himself right now. This is interesting. They're turning 18 Saturday, and we're proud of them. They're awesome. So let me help you guys out. Hand Caleb that mic, or there you go. Caleb, what do you want for your birthday? We'll start it off easy. How's that? Easy questions. What do you want for your birthday, son?
Probably an Xbox One.
What do you have right now?
Xbox 360.
Okay. Kendall, what do you want for your birthday?
I want an iPhone 6.
An iPhone 6.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Kendall, what do you think about your dad's hair? Be honest.
I love it.
You do?
Yeah.
Caleb, what do you think?
I like mine better.
Okay. Well, what do you think your mom thinks about your dad's hair?
She doesn't like it.
I told you. All right, here we go. Caleb and Kendall, week one, mom and dad talked about BC before children. I know you don't know much about our lives before you were born, but Kendall, let me ask you this. What is, and I don't have the answers here, but I want to make sure nobody knows this. What is the divine order of the home? What does that look like?
God, spouse, kids.
How do you know that answer? Be honest with them. Tell them how you know that.
Well, I can't get away with pitting y'all against each other. Like, y'all are going to take each other's side before you take my side.
That's true, but how do you know those exact words that I taught that first week? How do you know that? Tell them how you know that.
Well, I did listen to your podcast.
Exactly. Did I make you listen to the podcast?
No, sir.
No, sir. Okay. That's where I was getting at.
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks for playing along. Yeah. That shows you it's not that rehearsed tonight. Week two was about discipline. Caleb, what is the last thing that you were disciplined for? Everybody already knows how you were disciplined for not moving the trash can from the road back up by the house. So, but what was the last thing that you were disciplined for?
I was late for curfew one time.
Recently?
Yeah, pretty recently.
And what was the punishment for that?
Coming home earlier the next few times.
There you go. All right. Kendall, what is something that you were recently disciplined for?
Probably procrastinating.
On what?
My homework.
What number are you in as far as class ranking?
Number two.
Number two. Does that seem like something a number two student would do?
It works for me.
I told you that we taught them to have conviction also, didn't I? Just convicted about the wrong things. Week three, we talked about friends and influences. Friends and influences. Caleb, recently, I just found out about this week. Recently, a group of guys were at the lunch table, and one guy that is interested in your sister said to you, "I am not good enough for your sister." What did you say? Speak up. What did you say?
I said, "You're right."
What kind of look did he give you?
He looked down and just ate his lunch.
Why was he not good enough for your sister? Why do you think that?
Well, I sit at lunch table with him every day, and so I've heard how he talks about other women or other girls and stuff he's done, so I didn't want that for my sister.
It was not Marcus. No. No, we cleaned up Marcus's mouth. Remember, we fixed that. Kendall, in order for you to date someone while under our roof, what are the qualifications for that guy?
Well, first of all, he has to be a Christian, and he can't be like a lukewarm Christian. He's got to be involved, volunteer, come as much as he can. And he also has to respect me and my parents, and he has to get along with my brother, well, just a little bit, but...
Good, good. And now that's why you're living under our roof. I don't know how truthful you can be with your mom and I sitting here, but if we were not sitting here, let's just try. Do you feel like that is a conviction that is strong enough in your heart that is going to follow you to college? I mean, you're looking at possibly leaving for college, and so do you think that that same conviction is going to follow?
Well, I think I'd already have a boyfriend if I didn't, so yeah.
Okay. No, you wouldn't. Again, we're talking about friends and influences. Caleb, tell me a couple of people that you look up to.
Two people I look up to the most is Jake Meacham and Patrick Langford, probably.
What is it about those two guys that you look up to?
Well, they're both Christ-like, so I can look up to them that way, but they're also... They treat others well, and they're nice to other people, but they also know how to have a good time, so they're not boring.
Not boring. It's important if you want to be Caleb's friend. Be not ye boring. What about you, Kendall? Who are a couple of people that you look up to?
I would say Alexis Meacham and Stephanie Williams.
Why?
Because they are a good example of what it's like to be a leader in ministry and also just being a Proverbs 31 woman. And so I can look up to them that way, and I also know I can go to them if I have something and they're not going to, like, talk about it or something. I know it's confidential and that they can give me good advice to get through it.
Good. Now, that's people that you look up to. Next, I want to know about the people you look to. They're on the same playing field as you, around your age, and these are people that you can confide in and such.
Probably Marcus and Mariah.
Okay.
Just closer to them than anybody else, so
okay.
I can just tell them stuff.
Good. Kendall, what about you? People that you look to, that you confide in?
Probably Shelby Chatfield and Mariah Sapp. Okay. They're my two closest friends, and I know I can go to them for anything.
one of the things that your mom and I have tried to stress to you guys is not only do you need people to look up to, and not just people to look to, but also people that look up to you. Caleb, and I know this is uncomfortable for you, but because you don't like to get up in front of people and talk about yourself, and this is an uncomfortable question for anybody. I mean, let's be honest. But Caleb, just tell us, first name only. Let's just talk about first names only. Who is somebody just tell us one, somebody that looks up to you.
Well, recently probably Scotty.
Scotty? Okay. And what are you doing to invest in that relationship with him looking up to you?
Well, when I'm around him at church or at school, I just try and be the same person so he doesn't think I'm a fake or something like that.
What else are you doing? There's something more that you're doing with his life, too.
Well, whenever he has free time and we can both meet our schedules up, I'll just mentor him for like 2 hours. We'll play basketball some, just whatever he wants to do, and we just talk.
Good.
Yeah. Well, not at first. Like, as he slowly got used to me, and he opened up more.
Good. Good. Kendall, what about you? Somebody that looks up to you?
They're kind of one, but the Whitfield twins.
Okay. Well, or don't use first names. Use last names. There you go.
Katie and Allie.
That'll work. I think we're safe. I think we can talk their parents into letting that be on the podcast, so we'll be all right. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
What do I do?
Yeah. What do you do to help facilitate that?
It's been more as they've recently started high school, but they will come to me if they have like a funny story from school, or even if it's serious, they'll come to me, and I try to give them advice that I would live by. And I've been through almost 4 years of high school, so I kind of think that I can show them how I got through some of those same situations.
Good. Week four, I told these people that children become like their parents. Kendall, in what way do you want to be like your mom?
I want to have her selflessness even now, but especially as I grow up and become a wife and a mother one day. She's always willing to help anybody, and it's not just a have to, she enjoys it. And she's always looking to serve us as a family, and I want to have that same excitement to serve others as she does.
Okay. Caleb, in what way do you want to be like your mom? No, I'm just kidding. In what way do you want to be like me?
Probably just be hardworking and don't do stuff half-butted. Or
halfway?
Yeah, halfway.
Halfway. There we go. There we go. In what way, I'll ask you this, Kendall, first. In what way do you not want to be like your mom?
I don't want to have Mandyisms.
Mandyisms. Explain to them what a Mandyism is.
A Mandyism is when my mom thinks she knows a quote or a saying, but she gets it wrong, but she says it confidently.
I used to keep a list in my phone of Mandyisms, and I ran out of space on my phone. Caleb, in what way do you not want to be like me?
Well, I wouldn't make them come up in front of the church and speak something. Or pull up the trash can. I wouldn't make them do that either.
You wouldn't make them pull up the trash can? No. Yeah. How many of you think I need to punish him for that? Yeah. Yeah. Week five was the importance of church attendance. Caleb, talk to me about basketball. And everybody here knows you play varsity basketball, but even, I mean, from a young age, from ninth grade when you were on the JV, tell us about tournament weekends. What does that look like?
Well, they usually start on Saturdays, sometimes Fridays if it's a long one. And if we go far, we'll go into Sunday, but I usually, unless it's later in the day, I won't go on Sunday if it's an early morning game. If it's a little after first service, then I can go. But other than that, I just go to church.
Now, here's the thing, because I know there's some parents that may not get that and they may not understand it. But that is a priority that we have placed in our home. And Caleb, I want you to be very honest right now. How do you feel about that? Be honest.
It stinks. I'll say that word. It stinks sometimes, but I look at it like, if I don't go to church, I might be missing something that I could eventually use in life, or even in my life right now.
Okay.
And church is a top priority too, so that's what you instilled in me too.
What's going to take you farther in life, church or basketball?
Church.
Good answer, son. Kendall, what do you love the most about this church? Because we talked about that last week, or last time we met, we talked about how important it is to have your children plugged into church. And obviously, your entire life and the past 9 years of your life have been right here at this church. You've been growing and developing as a person as this church has been growing and developing. Tell us, what do you like the most about this church?
I think I love the community the most. I always tell my friends I have more friends, or, well, I tell people, I have more friends at church than I have at school. I have acquaintances at school and I get along with people, but my closest friends are at church. And I just like the fact that on a weekly basis I get to hang out with the people that I love the most, and that almost every weekend and once in the week that I can spend time with everybody and hang out with everybody and still serve the Lord together and just learn with fellow believers.
Okay. Caleb, what about you, son? What do you love the most about this church?
The trips we go on are pretty fun, like mission trips or access trips. I like the people going on the trips with them.
Now, I want to point something out to you, because I know some of you think we've coached them. This is fact. I asked him this question today at 5 o'clock in my office. I asked him this question. He has no idea what I told you a few weeks ago when I told you about Caleb and how much he loves. Anybody remember me telling you how much he loves going on mission trips? And he said, he made the statement to us, I could live on the mission field if I had my people from DCC with me. That's huge. That's huge. That speaks volumes, not only for our youth ministry, but that speaks volumes for you as a church family. I really want you to be proud of that, that's something. Now, this is a little bit tough question here, but do you honestly believe that if something were to happen to your mom or to me and your mom, do you honestly believe that this church is a part of your life forever?
I believe that.
You do?
They're all pretty much family here, so I think I would continue going here if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. Kendall?
Definitely. I am thinking about leaving for college, but I keep telling my parents that after 4 years, even if I find a husband, that he has to come back here. So, yeah.
Okay. Per my son's wishes, I am not going to open it up for questions. Here's what I will do. Mandy and I are prepared to take any questions. But I'm going to give these two a break, and so they don't have to just, you know, field questions on the spot. I did tell you this at the beginning of this series. The only thing Mandy and I know is raising these two kids. That's it. That's the only thing that we know. And I want you to know it has been a joy raising them. And I know we're not done. I know we're not finished with them. But it has been truly a privilege and a joy. Doesn't mean everything has always been great. Doesn't mean we haven't raised our voices at times and yelled at each other.
This week.
It happens. And but throughout this series, I put their life on display. Living in a pastor's house is tough. It's tough. I was raised in a pastor's house. You're in a glass house. Everybody sees it. We received one of the greatest compliments from somebody, and I won't tell you who, but it's somebody that has been attending on Wednesday nights, that they went and asked their grandchildren. They said, are Caleb and Kendall the real deal? You know, are they really, you know, the kids that their parents think that they are? And the grandchildren looked at this grandmother and said, absolutely. These are friends. These are peers. They said, absolutely. They are exactly what they say they are. And I'll tell you, I know for a fact these two, they're not perfect, but they love Jesus Christ and they love people. And Mandy and I could not be any more proud of who they've become. And just remember, you turn 18, but that doesn't mean a daggum thing in my house. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I love you guys. Thank y'all. Y'all can head back over to Access. Thanks for coming over. Love you, bud. Good game, man. Okay. I don't know how we want to do this. We have about 5 minutes here, and I don't know. We don't know it all, but if you have any questions that you would like to ask us, we were hoping earlier in the series that we'd be able to do this every week, but we just haven't been able to because of time. Is there anybody that has any question whatsoever of anything that we've talked about or maybe haven't talked about? And if I don't know the answer, I'll be the first to tell you I don't have the answer to that. I won't make anything up if I don't.
Being transparent, if y'all was to pass, what would be your desire for Caleb and Kendall in the church, such as when they grow up?
You want to answer that?
I never want to be one of those parents that assume that they will serve here in this local church. That is my desire and my hope. If Rocky was to pass and there had to be someone else that come on, I would hope that my children, if they were going to school here, that they would still come alongside that pastor and help serve and volunteer in kids ministry, youth ministry. I never want to make my kids feel like they have a calling on their life. I want them to find that calling. And being a volunteer versus being in ministry are two different things. What I see in my children, they may not see quite yet.
For me, Matt, I have a strong feeling that Kendall will somehow wind up in ministry. I think she's got a lot of the characteristics, and I think she even senses a calling. Whether that's part-time, full-time, or whatever, I have a feeling that will happen. Would I love for it to be at this church? Absolutely, but I mean, who knows? I mean, that I don't know how that will ever work out, especially if I was not here. I don't know how that would work out. Caleb, as you could tell, he's a little bit intimidated in front of people like that. You can put a basketball in his hand, and he'll show out for the crowd. But when it comes to talking, probably not so much. I expect Caleb to probably be some type of coach or something like that. I think one day maybe he'll do something like that. Somebody else, another question?
Over the 18 years, if there's one thing, what would it be that you'd done different?
Oh, I can answer you that right now. There's no doubt. I would have made them eat more, and I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. They've been to your house. You know. Yeah, they picked at food at your house, probably is what happened. Yeah. We just did not force them to eat properly as they were growing up. And I said this jokingly early on in the series. Some of our biggest areas of contention have been over food. Riding down the road trying to pick a place to eat, and the whole family wants to go one place, but Kendall wants to go somewhere else. And I'm telling you, I have gotten mad riding down the road, and I'm like, could you just fake it for once? Can you go in here and order some macaroni and cheese just for once? You know, and so I'm telling you, that is one of the biggest things that I would do differently right there. What about you? Anything else?
Because I do like to do things for people, I think that I've overdone it. I think that they are capable. I just think that I can do it better. And so I've not helped them to know how to wash clothes and how to cook a proper meal for them when I'm out of town and they call me 5 times to ask me to make sure they're doing it correctly. I feel like I should have done that earlier on instead of trying at 17 to teach them.
We're out of town and the phone rings and I know it's one of them calling their mom. I'll tell them and say they can't wipe their butt without calling you. And so, I mean, I was hoping that you would own up to that. I really wouldn't. Yeah. So,
with your kids being the same age, what would you say would the advantages or disadvantages of having kids the same age as opposed to having kids at different age groups?
Do you want to take advantages or disadvantages? I'll take advantages if you want me to. Advantages were they were both learning it at the same time. Eating, walking, talking, all that kind of stuff. When they were first born, when you change one diaper, you change the other. And, I mean, that was the advantages of it. People ask, is it harder to raise twins? We don't know. We've only raised twins. I don't know what it's like to raise one, but I don't know. I think that's what the advantage is. Do you have any other advantages?
The advantages is we don't have to go backwards. We just keep moving forward. We don't have to go back to Disney World multiple times. We just take them a few times and that's it, except for Kendall that wants to go every other week. The disadvantages was we only had the one shot, and so I couldn't redo what I had not done with these and make the third child eat more vegetables. Another disadvantage was if we got it wrong, we just got it wrong.
Disadvantage, they both turn 18 at the same time. They both turn 16 at the same time. That was a disadvantage.
It's very expensive.
Mandy and I had parents that they both bought us used vehicles when we turned 16. My parents bought me one, Mandy's parents, not super nice, but decent used vehicles. It was a goal of ours. Trust me, we didn't have the money to do it. But a few years out, we started putting money back because it was a goal of ours. Our kids at the time were number one and number five in their class as far as class ranking. I did not want them to have to go out and get a job. It was so important for us for them to stay focused on school. Caleb staying focused on sports and school and still being fifth in his class at the time. That was huge. And so when they turned 16, Mandy and I had saved enough money, had put enough money away in a savings account. For the price range that we were looking for, we could buy a used car and another half. So we could buy a car and a half, but there were two of them. Mandy and I, we live less than a mile from the office. I had a truck that was paid for. I went and sold that truck so that my kids could each have a car. And that was a disadvantage because I wanted it, my personal want is I wanted each of them to have their own car. And we had to make a sacrifice in order for that to happen. And we are a three-car family with four drivers, and we have lived that way for 2 years. And that was a disadvantage, but I don't regret it. It's a disadvantage, but I don't regret it at all. We were willing to sacrifice for that. The other disadvantage is they're both going to graduate at the same time. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if all your kids living under your roof graduate at the same time? Well, yeah, you can imagine, yeah. They have twins, so that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Now, Caleb most likely is going to stay local. Kendall, we're 90% sure she's heading out, you know. And so maybe it won't be empty nest all at one time, but it could be. Somebody else, another question.
When you see a talent or a desire in your children, how do you nurture that? Because I'm seeing things in Hunter that are just overwhelming me, but they're good things and he needs to be nurtured. How do you go about doing that?
From an early age, we could see that Caleb was definitely going to be a sports kind of guy. He just had athletic ability and not so much in Kendall. And Rocky really didn't want her to be athletic, and which bothered me at first, but he just didn't want them competing at all. If Kendall happened to be as good as her brother, which would have never happened now that we can see that. I wondered what her gifts were, and I seen her gifting as far as people, and so I started nurturing that, but as far as like a hobby or an ability, I really worried about her, what she would do. And Rocky was very musical. I sing, but he's, you know, piano, drums and stuff, and you would think that we would have taught our kids early on music, and she sang, but she never picked up an instrument until she was 12. And I watched their relationship get even better because he was able to share something with her that he had the sports thing with Caleb, but he didn't really have that connection with her until she picked up that instrument. And I seen him start nurturing that area in her life. For me, I've always nurtured the relationship and the people skills and the love for people. I told Rocky this today that from the time I started raising them until now, I raised them to be good adults. That was my focus. I wanted to nurture them in a way that they would be honest, good in society, good worker, and just love people. And so that's the kind of things I'm not sure what you're seeing in Hunter, but just the good part of it, whatever's good, whatever's right. And if they have a hobby and you see that they're not going to be good at it, we were honest with our kids.
There is an advantage. That's true. We were. Kendall tried tennis, bless her heart, her 9th grade year.
She thinks she can still play.
She still tells people, I've got a letter in tennis. I won't let her get a letterman's jacket because she's never played a tennis match in her life. And
she's
I have told her.
I was
her,
number six.
Yeah.
And there's only six people on the team.
Yeah. And only four got to play, you know. And so I've literally told her, you cannot get a letterman's jacket. Your brother is the athlete. He has, you know, the actual game time experience. You're not getting that. That's not going to happen. You played 1 year and you didn't play. I have an advantage that I think, honestly, and this is something that I don't take lightly, but God smiled on me with this. The way I connect with my kids in two different ways, and not everybody has the opportunity for this. There's a lot of people that can play an instrument and are athletic. That's not it. That's not where God, you know, smiled upon me. I mean, maybe he did, but that's not what I'm getting at. He smiled upon me because my son is athletic and can't play an instrument and can't sing, you know, that kind of thing. My daughter is musical and is not athletic. And so the way that I was able to connect with my kids is I'm into sports with Caleb, and I've coached him in basketball since he was this big, and now we're going into a senior year, and senior night is going to be awful for me. It's just going to be horrible this year. So I've connected with him through basketball. I've connected with her through music. And I know not everybody gets that opportunity. And I thank God that for some reason, he allowed me to have that opportunity.
I just want to share one more thing that people ask me all the time, especially parents that have kids my age, and they're like, why are you pushing her to move 8.5 hours away? And it's like, I'm not pushing her to move 8.5 hours away, but every time that I pray over my daughter, I feel peace in what she's wanting to do. And I feel God telling me that in order for her to fulfill the dreams that she has for her life, that's where she needs to be. And I never want to be that parent that holds back because I still need to nurture. I still need to mother because I still do. And I'm thankful that Caleb will be here and I'll nurture as long as he wants me to until he moves out. But Rocky and I talk about it all the time that, you know, from an early age, we've seen where Kendall was headed. And I had a long talk with her. We went and watched War Room, and coming back home, we both cried because she was like, I'm ready to go conquer the world. And I just see day by day God just putting these things in her, and I never want to be that parent that stifles her or holds her back. And my heart will break. I will shed 1,000 tears probably the first 6 months she's gone. But I tell her, I look forward to girls' trips. I look forward to coming and seeing you. So I try and make it fun because she's a hermit, and she loves being home. So in order for us to push her out, it's going to take a lot. But we know that's where she's headed.
Let me finish this entire and just wrap everything up by reminding you about this. God allowed us the opportunity to teach this series. There are many people, many families that could get up here and teach this series. Some are in this room. I just want you to realize when you see us, we are an average family. I need you to understand that. We have our positives. We have our negatives. One of the things that we didn't get to is some of the negative traits that our kids have. My daughter sometimes doesn't know when to shut up. She just talks all the time. And Mandy and I constantly have to tell her, when you're around a group of people, sometimes just shut up. Don't say everything that it comes to your mind. And she's growing and maturing in that. You know, that's one of the areas that she's had to really watch. And you know, with my son, he is not forceful. He will let, you know, unless he's on the basketball court, he will let people run over him and things like that. And we've had to constantly tell him, you know, you can't just sit back. When it comes to communicating with a teacher, if you know you've turned the work in, then voice that. Tell the teacher, you know, don't sit there and take a zero for it. And, you know, and so there are things that we have definitely had to work on with our kids, and still they're a work in progress. And so I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, man, they think they've got it all together. We don't, but I will tell you what we do have right. We have our relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, that is priority in our lives. We've made that a priority in our family. And we are where we are today. And we are blessed the way we're blessed today. because that is something that has not wavered in our lives, and we have kept that a priority. Jesus Christ is the banner that flies over my house, and that will never change. And I think you know that should we die tomorrow, that banner is going to fly over our children's lives also. And with that, I can look at myself and I can look at my wife and I can say, good job. Good job. We got it. We did it. We did it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing Mandy and I the opportunity to teach this series. God, I pray that somehow maybe we helped someone, and maybe there's a principle and a spiritual principle, Lord, that they were able to learn from, maybe change direction, the way their kids are being raised, the way that it's going right now. God, I pray for these families in this room. I pray that you will let Christ reign in these households. I pray, Lord, that these parents, that they will make the declaration, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That there's no ifs, ands, or buts, Lord. That is the decision. Christ will reign in their households. So God, I'm praying your blessings over them. Lord, when they meet resistance, I pray that you will give them the strength that they need to push through. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.